Now, talking about Mohammed Yunus, and we have been talking, touching about Grameen Bank at various times. Let me talk about it in a lot more detail now. So, Mohammed Yunus in Bangladesh was extremely affected by the famine in Bangladesh famine in 1974, and he saw the kind of poverty and deprivation in large parts of Bangladesh. The poor were just in a hopeless, the poor people were in a, and in the rural segments were in hopeless conditions. If they ever wanted to improve their lot and borrow money for their basic needs, it probably eventually just ended up getting completely, getting them completely become, tied down to the money lenders. Because they could never get out of that vicious circle of borrowing and interests and, pawning their every last thing that they had. So poverty and hunger were, which are absolutely, basic needs, hunger eradication, poverty eradication, which are absolute basic needs for any community, any individual, any country to have dignity were in complete disarray. So in response to this need to not just provide money, but to create entrepreneurs out of at the in the poorer segments, in the rural segments where they are borrowers, but not borrowers to take care of some immediate consumption need, but borrowers to be able to start small businesses, create livelihoods for themselves, which could improve the position, their position to take them out of the poverty segment of financial poverty, to uplift themselves and their families out of this financial poverty. So Grameen Bank started as a micro lending organization to empower these poor people to move out of the extreme poverty. They started in with a small pilot project in Jobra village, and initially when Mohammed Yunus had this idea had taken root, he had lent a small paltry sum of $27, what would amount to $27, to 42 families. He saw how that could benefit them from a sustainable manner. From there, he started working on this whole idea of Grameen Bank. So after this pilot project in Jobra village, which was very successful, the model was multiplied across the entire country. And today they are covering 94% of the villages that are there in Bangladesh. So Bangladesh has a population of roughly 175 million people. And out of that 175 million people, almost 45 million people are being impacted because of the activities of positively impacted because of the activities of Grameen Bank, because of Grameen Bank's lending, micro lending to the poorer segments, which has empowered them, improved their livelihoods, and brought them out of poverty. So now, one very, very unique feature about the lending practices of Grameen Bank are that they do not take collateral. So over and above, over and above interest, etc., a big part of lending to the poorer sections becomes in the traditional forms of lending, the unorganized lenders, the feudal lords, etc. One huge element of exploitation becomes collateral, where, once collateral is given in terms of their land, in terms of their homes, in terms of their shops, whatever, then that's an endless story of, them never being able to get it back. So one very unique feature of the lending model of Grameen Bank has been that they do not take collateral, and which is a huge element of creating security and dignity in the borrowers. Now, interestingly, to give some facts and figures in terms of the demographics, 90% of the borrowers have been women borrowers, which is again, showing how when it comes to enterprise, when it comes to taking on leadership, when it comes to having a motivation to improve the lot of their children, be driven by my children should have better education, better lifestyle, better health care, my family should flourish. Women are ready, even in conservative societies and countries, to get up and take action and be the change makers. So this has been Grameen Bank model has been a massive success, they have because of this he also received the Nobel Prize. Muhammad Yunus received the Nobel Prize, and he is paying it back. He has received, of course, affected, massive positive social impact, and he's been recognized for it. But he's also giving back again by way of his unusual pioneers project, which through the Yunus Social Foundation and School promotes further social enterprise, has a tie-up with the Schwab Foundation, and promotes social entrepreneurs, mentors social entrepreneurs to harness further social impact and create even more change makers. Now, when we are talking about lending, then one of the other measures of success is also recovery. While we do not want aggressive recovery practices, which can be very humiliating and indignified, and in fact, when we were discussing one of the examples where, in the case of SKS Finance, an issue had happened where reportedly a large number of the suicides, women suicides, were borrowers of SKS in the state of Andhra Pradesh. We don't know, there were claims reportedly, allegedly, one doesn't know, was there a role of aggressive recovery agents? Forget those days and years ago, and interior rural part of Andhra Pradesh. Occasionally, even now, in the news, you will hear about, now, of course, the RBI has far stronger norms and rules. But there was a time one or two decades back when you read in the paper that, someone even in Mumbai was humiliated badly because these very aggressive recovery agents, from XYZ banking institution turned up at their residential building and humiliated them in front of their neighbors and, disrespected them. And, these people had a loss of face and, a loss of pride, and, someone or the other committed suicide. And which is very, very tragic that, one, you are facing the burden. Obviously, you are in desperate need, which is why you have borrowed, and you are not a willful defaulter who is just choosing not to pay back, but you are genuinely stretched and not in a position to pay back, and in such a situation to be humiliated further obviously led a few people to the breaking point, and which is very, very sad and tragic. So when it comes to lending, then one has to also keep in mind the recovery aspect of it. How healthy is the recovery? How healthy are the recovery practices? And in the case of Grameen Bank, the recovery of loans is a very high percentage. So while one is talking about disbursements, and one is talking about massive loans, at the same time, these are not people who have absconded with the money. These are people who have genuinely used those to break out of poverty, the cycle of poverty, and have returned the money as well. In fact, going a step forward from the micro lending to the poor society, Grameen Bank also started lending to interest-free loans to beggars. In fact, taking this micro lending one step further. Grameen Bank has also started extending interest-free loans to beggars so that they may look for livelihood and move out of their business of begging and have dignity in life. And already you have more than 20,000 beggars who have moved out of this of begging as a result of these loans from Grameen Bank, which is a very, very positive impact on the society and probably a measure which can be replicated in large parts of the world. So there is so much good happening. There are 9 million borrowers of Grameen Bank, positively impacting 45 million people, as I was saying. So it is a pay it forward mission. It is a contagious mission, which can very well be replicated elsewhere. And truly and rightly, he deserves the Nobel Prize that he has been the recipient of. Now, also, when we are talking about, larger organizations like Grameen Bank and their influence and the inspiration they provide to startups and new entrepreneurs, then also there are other initiatives which can be very inspiring and nurturing, environments which can be very inspiring and nurturing for social entrepreneurs, like, for example, the unusual pioneers of Yunus social project, which is promoting and handholding social entrepreneurs. Likewise, there are events like the Sankalp, the projects and initiatives like the Sankalp event, which is a platform which brings together various participants in the platform of social enterprise, whether it's entrepreneurs, whether it is investors, technology people, whether it is policymakers, whether it is experts. So events like this, endorsements like the Yunus social business, various other promotional efforts really give that morale boost so that fledgling ideas can take flight more and more social impact can be created across the globe in coming to in various segments of the community. Now, in a very different form of good and positive impact that someone wants to create is Rachel Brathen, who is known as the Yoga Girl. And she believes in positive, bringing positivity into the community by way of spiritual healing, by way of yoga, meditation. And she has an Instagram account with more than 2 million followers. And it, actually, in today's day and age, and especially the vagaries that we live with, there are a lot of people who can benefit significantly from yoga, meditation, etc., which can help them, balance the pressures of life, work, life, etc. Also, it's not, yoga is not something which is only for the luxury of the, well-off and the trendy and the fitness conscious, but even people in lower income groups who may be struggling with so many stresses and issues, right from addressing basic, basic needs and various other challenges, even for them, having a spiritually balanced existence, meditation, yoga, wellness may help them get the calm to move in the right direction, to be confident about themselves, to openly accept the benefits of social enterprise coming their way. So again, this unusual, spiritual mental healing through wellness and yoga kind of innovation is very different. However, once again, it creates a community of teachers, people who are being trained to conduct these classes, who are being trained to offer these services. And given the appetite which is there globally for yoga, meditation, etc., then that is opening up a huge livelihood potential for this community of teachers, for the people associated with this venture, and of course, benefiting the beneficiaries also in terms of helping them not burn out, deal with stresses, etc. I had mentioned about the Malala Fund, and Shiza Shahid is the lady who is managing the Malala Fund for Malala Yousafzai, who was unfortunately targeted and shot by the Taliban for promoting camps for women, for girls, and for education of girls in Pakistan in the conservative areas. Fortunately, she survived and of course went on to become the youngest winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. And then, you know, her campaign to give back to the society, campaigning for gender equality, education, and being a role model to young girls to keep investing in themselves to counter suppressive forces and stay focused on acquiring education, knowledge, becoming self-sufficient, earning livelihoods, having dignities and having dignity and not being, oppressed by forces that want to deny them their basic right to education and empowerment. Now, also, when we are talking about unusual innovations like the Yoga Girl innovation or, some of the other ones which are very, very, unique and different and bring in a different flavor, then let me mention about another enterprise, which is also a unique, enterprise where Club Med, which is a very popular line of holiday resorts internationally, they started working in their, and a lot of the people who go to Club Med, who use Club Med facilities and properties are very trendy. You would typically associate a lot of fun and a lot of those aspects with Club Med. But here you are being surprised by an element of social enterprise. So Club Med in 6 countries, they have this project where in their immediate vicinity for their resorts, they source from farmers in the immediate vicinity, and hence they promote the local community, they promote employment, they promote farming and agriculture in the immediate local community. Bring in this livelihood and employment because of the farmers around who supply to Club Med. So the local farmers are promoted because of this, because of that, the communities flourish, whether in terms of education, in terms of health and wellness, in terms of sanitation. And this is a very good pattern which they managed to replicate across countries. And it has been acknowledged even by the World Tourism Organization as a best practice. The World Tourism Organization of the UN has recognized that this is a best practice. And again, given that Club Med is a very well-known name internationally, and typically the patrons of Club Med are people who would have sizable disposable incomes also, comfortable disposable incomes and surpluses, then it also serves to play a very, very, it serves to play a very inspiring role in the lives of the patrons who are the guests at these at Club Med, and also influence them to contribute not just in terms of donations or money or anything. A lot of the enterprises, as I am that I have been talking in the last few chapters, and I'll continue to talk about, don't involve money donations essentially. They are about creating models and lifestyles to create empowerment, autonomy, self-sufficiency rather than money donation. So coming back to Club Med, So many people could get inspired by the possibilities of what they can do within their employment horizons, within their companies, in various aspects of their life, you know, because people who are coming and staying at a resort are from all over, not just from the immediate areas. They would be coming from all over the world, which means that they are also taking back this experience and this awareness to across the world to possibly consider and implement something similar or something related, or feel more confident about their own innovative ideas, use those learnings. So once again, influencing a lot of the other players, potential stakeholders in the market. Coming back to some of the other entrepreneurship stories to be inspired by, Mark Koska, he was very aware about you know, the what we also know as negligence, medical negligence, where you know, diseases are spread because of infected medical tools, especially in times when, you know, HIV awareness, hepatitis awareness, all of these things, COVID, etc., are things which have been of huge concern. So he has a mission to redesign medical tools so that these are non-reusable and yet cost-effective, because very often the disposable ones are not cost-effective, and which is why you know, underfunded clinics or low-income group clinics may not may end up reusing medical equipment, which, or not properly sterilized medical equipment, which could transfer blood-borne diseases, as has happened you know, across the world. So the Koska Foundation founded SafePoint Trust, and they have, in terms, again, talking about measurability, they have delivered more than 4 billion safe injections in 40 countries. They had the Schwab Foundation cited, recognized Kosha for this contribution. So again, something which is very basic, because this is a matter of, you know, blood-borne, contracting blood-borne diseases or diseases because of use of infected medical devices, is a life-threatening issue. And people, it's very, very unfortunate and something which is completely avoidable. And this initiative to give this service to underfunded areas, to disadvantaged areas, you know, where either there is paucity of funds, or there is paucity of skill and training, or there is paucity of you know, motivation to deliver your work effectively because of, you know, various challenges, then this life and death issue can actually be addressed by foundations like Kosha, who have the resources, who have received, even if, let's say, there's an enterprise which does not have resources to begin with, they eventually, with a successful enterprise, end up attracting you know, stakeholders who have resources, and who will then, who can enable the scalability of such operations. So all these enterprises are extremely inspiring, and not only create social impact through their beneficiaries, but also create social impact, the shadow social impact, by others, in by influencing others to follow suit, to keep contributing to positive social impact, which puts people and planet before profit, and thinks about the deprived, and not only thinks about them, but acts on the those thoughts by contributing positively. Thank you.